morning, Pop Chasers, and happy Tuesday, January 4th. I hope everyone had a fantastic new year. And to welcome in 2022, I'm also welcoming back one of a new legend on this podcast. My friend Kelly, who was here just a couple weeks ago, and we had such a kiki. Kelly, I know you're lathering up your lips right now to get them talking. Welcome back to Pop Chaser. How are you?
Thank you so much. So happy to be back. I had to just lubricate the lips so that I could really get ready to gab my favorite gift, but I'm very happy to be back.
I know that, you know, we spoke last time. I kind of gave everyone the spiel of how we know each other. I was thinking this time around, I was told an icebreaker that the CEO of The Dip, Kate, who used to co-host this podcast with me, I've never heard it before, but she told it to me and I have to ask it to you because it's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever heard. And that is, if your index finger could shoot out any liquid, like pew, pew, what would you have it be?
Oh, 100% Diet Coke.
Oh, really?
Easy, easy. But it has to be at McDonald's temperature, of course.
Yeah.
So fountain. Specifically McDonald's fountain Diet Coke, because, you know, I'm not in the business of like using my own body to harm others. So like, I wouldn't think of like something poisonous or stingy. Yeah. I would just want to benefit others. So I would, you know, Diet Coke for all.
Someone's just like driving up to the drive-through and they're out of the fountain. You're like, open up. Pew, pew.
No problem. Open wide.
I was thinking like water for the sake of just like convenience. Do you hear that? That's my dog. He's got everyone listening. I know you've been on a journey with me and him, and I've loved him since he was born. His first birthday is January 31st. but today he is testing me, Pop Chasers, and I don't even want to look at him. Yeah, but I was going to go with water because I felt like if I was ever found in like the desert, abandoned, couldn't make my way home, I would at least be able to survive.
It's not worth
it. It's boring. Okay.
Well, honestly,
it's not worth the survival. Good to know. Okay. So you guys, we have a ton of things that we want to get to today. The first thing I think we have to touch down on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because this week, if I wasn't convinced before, I am now. Mary M. Cosby has something on Meredith Marks, and I just would love to know what it is.
It never dawned on me even that that was the case until they both got up and walked away together. And then of course, when, who was it? Jenny said it. Mm-hmm. I was like, bingo, God, why didn't I think of that? Of
I know.
Course.
It was, so basically Meredith like defended Mary for the slanted eyes comment that she made at the pho lunch, which was, I think the last time you were on, we talked about that. Yes. And it was so crazy to see somebody who is usually, I mean, she's like offended by everything, especially when it has to do with her family. And now it's like an actually like truly racist remark was made. And you're like, I don't know if I would be offended, but I wouldn't have said it. And you're like, what the fuck?
That is absolutely outrageous. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. I hope that she looks at this episode and is outraged at herself.
I know.
Because I feel so terrible that like on every other show and every other platform right now, especially in today's climate, like as soon as like the word racist is thrown around, like everyone drops and rolls, says, I'm sorry, says yes. Whatever you feel, fine. And that's how it honestly should be always. The fact that Jenny is sitting there in this circle of women trying to explain to her, to them, why that's a racist comment when it's a very clear as day racist comment is outrageous.
Yeah. And the fact that like Mary was like, well, I didn't mean it as if I wasn't saying it offensively, but then she just kept digging deeper and deeper. It was right. like you said, like it is truly like stop, drop and roll and like listen. And it was so frustrating to see. I cannot wait for the reunion solely to watch, like, because with Mary, it's like, that woman is a lost cause. I mean, because after that, she leans more into the Mexican thug comment that she said to Lisa. And so, I mean, she's like, I don't even care about, I've said this before, I don't even enjoy watching Mary on TV anymore. But the Meredith thing, I was like, I want to see Andy, like, take her to task on that one.
Absolutely. And like, I just also, I mean, Mary is a lot of things. Maybe she's God. Maybe she's not. I guess I have no idea. But it is so obvious that she has some severe, I'm not in the business of diagnosing mental illness, but split personality of sort, because the fact that she doesn't even know
right.
that she said a Mexican thug, drug person. What did she say?
Yeah, she said, she's like, starts saying like the cartel, and she's literally like going on and on about like, and Homeland Security and the FBI, that's the cartel.
She's like, I just saw her with the braids and the fur. I'm like,
oh, the braids and the fur. Oh my God. I mean, this woman is, yeah, she's unwell. Outrageous. She's un, is the word of the day outrageous slash outrage? She's like seven times in the last. I don't want to make you self-conscious about it, but.
Well, never saying that again. Thank you.
I do think that she, like, for me personally, like, I hate Kelly Dodd, and I was glad that she was kicked off of OC, but I do think we need to kind of like really think about like, what's the difference? You know, like, they're both perpetuating stereotypes across different cultural backgrounds. And I just feel like they're going to keep Mary because she's quirky.
But no, it's not quirky. That's,
it's not, like, no, it's racist, it is, and it's ignorant, and it's awful, and it's outrageous.
And yes. And the fact of, okay, did I miss something as far as the regifting of the Louboutins, or is that, oh, also, why are they not calling them Louboutins?
It's so weird. I don't, it's so, one time I read that, like, there was, like, early on in, what was it? Oh God, what show was it? Like, early on in, like, reality TV, a ton of women started carrying around, like, very recognizable designer bags. And those designers, like, let's say it was, like, Chanel, they were like, we don't want you carrying our bag because it's, like, you are not who we want to attract. So Chanel would send, like, Louis Vuitton bags to those women to try to, like, screw up the image. And I do wonder if, like, Louboutin is like, please leave our names out of your mouth.
Yes, like, please call it whatever they freaking call it, and don't, you cannot say our name, and yeah. Do not show that they red have red bottoms.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I also just think that, like, when it comes to Meredith and Lisa, like, they clearly hate each other, but aren't, like, they're just not saying it. And that for me is, like, something I really want to get into, because they are, we're like Thelma and Louise in the first season, you know?
Right. It's very clear that they had some sort of falling out. And, like, even when they show them one-on-one talking, it's so uncomfortable.
It's,
like,
so tense.
It is not how friends of 20 years, as they always say, would speak. And how Meredith is saying, she's always just yelling at me, or whatever she said. She never was yelling. Like, she literally just, like, walked up. I mean, Lisa, I have enough to say about her. She's totally flipped the script on me too. I used to love her, and now I,
you've gone so back and forth on her.
I'm sitting in my
thoughts on her son's prom.
Okay, the one thing that I will say, I even said this out loud to my husband. I said, I am very thankful to watch kids from Salt Lake City go to prom instead of what I see out of freaking Real Housewives of OC's children are coming, being all completely in a bra just to go shopping with their moms. At least these kids looked normal.
Well, they looked normal. I mean, I thought he looked way younger than her, but right. That's because he's, I mean, and I'm not trying to, like, drag a kid, just very pale.
Very so, pale with rosacea.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're not here to diagnose, but
you're right. I'm not in the business of diagnostics.
But I will say, like, I did think that they looked like it was the most normal any kid thing I've ever seen on the show ever. And right. I actually appreciated it. I also loved how awkward it was. And
it was so awkward. And when they dropped the corsage and that hug, I was like, oh my God, it brought me right back.
Oh God, it was so, so cringy. But I did like that. I actually really loved the like little side vignettes of this episode, like Lisa cleaning a toilet. And
okay, that was so funny.
It was like, so funny.
Never enough.
And it was so gross because like one thing I didn't need to see was like, I mean, I think we're all adults on this podcast. We can all say that we've cleaned a toilet. At least we should have at this point in our life. When she like shakes it to get the water off before putting it, it was so gross. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch that though. Like cut it, cut that, like leave that to like Marge. I think Marge was the woman's name, which shout out to my grandma. May she rest.
Oh.
It was like 15 years ago. It's fine. But then there's also Jenny getting Cheesecake Factory for Dewey.
That which, was an interesting move on their part, really. Like
in the last 2 to 3 episodes, we had Jen and Coach eating Popeyes. And now we have Cheesecake Factory. And I saw those bags from a mile away. And I go, I know those bags. I know those colors. It's like a mauve and a teal and a brown.
Oh, we've been there a time or two.
Yeah. So Kelly and I loved Cheesecake Factory when we were in college, so much so that we would go and like, if there was a cheesecake of the month, we would look forward to eating it. And there was one that just looked so good. It was like, I don't even remember what it was, like peanut butter.
Oreo.
It was like had it all. It had it all. When people say like, can you have it all? Like this cheesecake said yes. And Kelly and I were so excited. We talked about getting it. And then I find out that Kelly went to Cheesecake Factory without me and got the special cheesecake of the month. And then I didn't get the cheesecake of the month.
That was complete betrayal. I am so, so sorry, but I mean, girls gotta eat, and Cheesecake Factory's variety on the menu cannot be beat.
And for those wondering, I actually only order the same cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory every time. And it's actually the red I get the red velvet one. It's so good because you get two cakes. You get a red velvet cake and a cheesecake.
That's true. I do like the Godiva one for that reason, because you have chocolate cake on there. So yeah. I understand.
You got to cheat the system. Speaking of the girls got to eat, I'm a little worried that Whitney Rose and her family won't be eating soon.
Okay.
They blew their entire savings.
Not in my life understood. I didn't even know. Do you know that I went 3 separate times on my phone with the purpose of Googling what Iris and Boo was? Yeah. Still, I don't know. And then I still was confused at the party what Wild Rose even was. I know that there was no product in the previous photo shoot. Then there's the tiniest little diorama of her products. And I have never in my life seen something so outrageous.
I know. And it's so funny too, because I do feel like when housewives like launch something, think about like when Zen Wen wanted her candle line and everyone was like, I got to get my hands on these candles. And then she had none of them ready. Or you have any of Sonia Morgan's pieces, pillows from Craig, but right. Like, I can't think of anyone who's interested in, and listeners, like if you're purchasing Whitney's,
let us know.
Skincare question mark? What is her beauty line? Let us know like what it's about. But I actually really, when she said they blew through $300,000, which was their entire savings, I actually was like stopped dead in my tracks.
It was ridiculous. And then for him, her husband to be like, she's doing amazing things right now. Like, no, she's actually not. And she looks like, I'm sorry, but weird in that red dress.
I know. Wait, her like boobs were falling out.
She ripped the dress and had to be sewn in, and it like, I think she should have just got a size that fit and fixed the boobs so they were a little tucked in. But what about
I mean, look, she loves those boobs. She paid a lot for them, and it looks like they make a reappearance next week when she like makes a cake for Seth. I think it was Seth at least.
It was. And she made a comment that I know you love my cleavage, which I thought was very weird.
What was that in reference to?
That's what I wasn't sure.
She was also so drunk when she was giving that toast. which was my God. So fun to watch. She was like, cheers.
And then she was like, Mary, Meredith, are you there? Like in front of everybody.
Wait, also in the preview, Jen and Lisa, like that fight looks so intense.
So intense. I cannot believe that, first of all, that Lisa Barlow would ever get physical in a fight.
I wonder, I mean,
the princess of Sundance.
The queen. Sundance queen. But I agree. I can't believe that either. And what's crazy too is like in all of her times on Watch What Happens Live, I would have felt like I would have picked up that like that was coming. I'm shocked that I don't even remember seeing that in previews. So the fact that they're just still rolling out new content for us week after week is just the gifts that keeps on giving. Just like Mary and her regifts.
Right. I am still confused at the regifting, but I couldn't be more happy with Salt Lake's display. I mean, really, we're not given a ton. I do think that actually Real Housewives of OC is giving me more than I thought it would this season. So I'm really fortunate. I'm fortunate with what I've been given with them.
Thoughts on Noella and her divorce?
Okay. First of all, Noella needs everything to be a telenovela.
Yeah.
She is so dramatic. And that's coming from somebody who's
very dramatic. Yeah. We love drama.
She is constantly, every scene is just a new drama.
Yeah.
I don't know if her husband didn't know that she couldn't speak Spanish. To be honest, I think that, you know, the divorce is completely nuts that he would do that, but serving divorce papers in straight Spanish when you know your ex-wife can't speak it, mic drop, quite honestly.
It really is. It really is. I said this when I was on Hot Off the Mess, but I do have to just like commend her for what I'm calling divorce blue nail polish now, because it's the same way that like Princess Diana wore that one black dress after she and Charles divorced and everyone's like, yep, that's it. And Noella seemed to have just gotten a cerulean blue mani. And I honestly think it's fantastic. It really is like inside out, but on her nails. And I think it was such a power move because they make so many appearances because she's constantly covering her face.
Constantly crying.
But then at the same time, like I love watching Nicole Weiss try to console her at a restaurant. And she goes, you're embarrassing me.
That scene was something I've never seen before.
I loved it.
You need to get up. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
She's like dragging her out. She's like, we literally need to. I was like, I think you're causing more of a scene right now. But I also loved it. So.
And how drunk they clearly were.
So drunk.
I mean, because every scene, you know, I've learned the trick. I'm sure we all have that are Bravo, you know, obsessors. I've learned the trick of just watching the drink when they're on dinner, because then I can kind of see where the editing happened. Every scene, it was a different drink.
Really?
Every time it was cut, different drink.
Every time.
I mean, she asked for tequila to start, if you remember, to the waitress. Then as soon as the next sentence, it was a like thing of rosé, like a little gimlet.
That's why we have you on this podcast. That's boots on the ground reporting. So I also have to just say in the Bravoverse, we are a mere 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away from Summer House's return. Thoughts? Oh. What are you most excited about? For me, it's got to be Paige and Craig.
Paige and Craig. It's a no-brainer.
I am dying to see how this little couple comes to be. And I can't wait to see the little couple that could. She helped him name his candles. And it was like, and like, that's love in, from what I've understood. And Casey Wilson tells a really funny story. I can't remember if I've told it on this podcast before, but she tells a really funny story on Bitch Sesh about when she was doing, I actually DM'd her about it. I don't want to say like we talked about it, but she did respond. So hold on. Also, I just saw some breaking news about Chloe and Tristan that we'll get to in a sec. But no, I think it was an apology post.
Ooh.
But okay, so Craig Craig said that Paige helped him name his candle collection, and Casey was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. And then she looks at what the candles are named, and one of them is literally just called Craig's Pumpkin Pie or Rudolph's Favorite. Like, the names were horrible. And he was like,
this one smells bad.
Okay, wait, breaking news on Chloe, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve the heartache and humiliation I've caused you. You don't deserve the way I have treated you over the years. My actions certainly have not lined up with the way I view you. I have the utmost respect and love for you, regardless of what you may think. Again, I'm so incredibly sorry. I think it is so weird when he chose to do this on his Instagram.
Was that his, like, was that like a screenshot of his notes? Because if so, it I'm was, done.
No, on an Instagram story.
Oh, beautiful. Artistic.
It's on a black background, white, but he did put the apostrophe over the E in Chloe, as Andy would say.
Oh, that was very nice of him.
Speaking of Chloe, I should say, Andy Cohen, who's the only person I know that pronounces it like that. Andy Cohen on New Year's Eve. I don't know if you guys have seen clips of this, but first of all,
had a little bit to drink.
As he said, overserved. He was blackout drunk, and I feel confident saying that, even though we're not here to diagnose, and blackout drunk with Anderson Cooper. And like the year before, I think Anderson was maybe a little overserved, but fun. But Andy goes on a rant about Bill de Blasio, he's leaving political office in New York. And he goes on this crazy rant. It's CNN. And there were rumors that he was like banned from CNN because of it. But then I saw that CNN released a statement. They were like, no, we talked to him about it, and he knows what he should and shouldn't have done, and we look forward to having him back. So
we're good. Everything here is fine.
You guys know where you'll be on next year's telecast.
I didn't do like the clickbait article about like the one thing he regrets. Was that?
I think it was the de Blasio thing. Yeah.
It wasn't about Ryan Seacrest.
Or the Florida thing. No, I think he stands by the Florida and Seacrest comments. It was the de Blasio thing. I think it's just because it was like political, but I have no idea. I love it though. Watching, like, I didn't watch on New Year's Eve CNN, not for any, I just like, I think I had on, Miley and Pete, but also like, who's really watching it? Cause it's so awkward. Like, they're constantly cutting to like concert venues in like Miami and then like
Sierra.
Nebraska. Yeah. Sierra. Yeah. And I think that like, so anyway, with that said, when I opened TikTok the next morning, it was all I could see was just Andy. So I did love that for him.
But I know Andy, when Andy's drunk, it's very obvious. I mean, yes. It is not a surprise. It's kind of like my mom after two glasses of Chardonnay starts slurring her words just a little bit. Eyes look a little wonky. That's Andy. It's very clear.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was no.
Also, he's being provided the alcohol.
Right. I knew what I was getting myself into once I started watching him talk. Exactly. So it's all good. I appreciate it.
I'm fine with it too. And I'm glad that he'll be back. Okay. One thing I wanted to chat really quickly about, and Kelly, I know you haven't had a chance to watch it, but I did just want to touch down on The Bachelor, which premiered last night. And, for those that have seen it, I have to say, like, there were a few things that stood out to me, but otherwise it was a kind of normal premiere. But Kelly, cause you haven't seen it, I'm just really excited to shock you with some of the info that occurs. So the first thing is that there is a girl who, her name is Sally, and Sally,
gorgeous.
She was at her bachelorette party 1 month before the limo exit.
Are you kidding me?
The funny thing is that she kept selling it as this weekend that they began filming was supposed to be her wedding weekend, but she didn't say that I was literally at my bachelorette party the 1 month before this. And we found out like when this started kind of circulating on Twitter before we knew if she was going to be an official contestant or not, that like we found photos from her bachelorette party in August and they started filming in September.
My gosh. Was she still wearing her ring?
No, she cried a lot about how she wasn't ready. And I can't tell if it was just like kind of like a ploy to just have him be rejected because she actually left before limo exits. And she was like, I'm not ready. And he tried to give her a rose. The thing that annoyed me the most though, is like these two people are sitting in like, honestly, a Ramada Inn on like one of those shitty, like love seat couches. And they've talked for about 5 minutes and she has been sobbing about how she was supposed to be married this weekend. And he goes, I just feel like there's so much chemistry here. And I'm going to give you this rose. And she's like, I agree. Like, I feel like you could be my person. And I'm like, you guys have known each other for 5 minutes, which is just the flaw of the show.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. I've actually, you know, been given the gift of knowing a few people that have been on The Bachelor, which is
brag,
really humble brag. And that is exactly what they all say as a report from the show is sit in a room for hours. You're fired questions at, and you make up in your mind that you like this person because you're supposed to, and you don't even know them. And this is 5 minutes.
Yes. And that's funny you say that because there was actually another girl who she pulled him aside and they did like a fun little game day thing. And when she went back to then another woman stole him away, blah, blah, blah. We've seen that happen a million times. She goes back to the room and they're like, did you get time with Clayton? She goes, yeah, it's not the vibe. And she's like, I'm not into him. Like, I would destroy him. He's way too nice for me. And it's like the first time I've really heard somebody like, because it takes two to tango on this show, right? Like, that is not how real life works, where you have one person that 26, 27 women are just automatically in love with. So that woman's name was Claire. Was she also like Andy on New Year's Eve, maybe overserved? Perhaps. But
I love when they're drunk on the first night. Who was that one that like knocked over the champagne, like was like opening the champagne because they left. Oh my God. That was the best thing ever. When they left their own personal bottle of like Cristal.
Kelsey?
Yes. And they were so upset because somebody else sat in their little room area. And then they got her a new bottle and she spurted it all over her face. And it like
popped in her face, in her eye. That is...
I like when they're drunk like that.
Me too. I mean, first of all, I just want everybody to know if I went on The Bachelor, I would be blacked out within like 10 minutes because I'd be so nervous.
Free alcohol. Well, Allie-Kat, can we say about what you did prior to? Okay. Never mind. Allie-Kat gets nervous for dates. So she would be pretty nervous.
It's all legal. It's just not something like, you know, for purposes of my career, I would prefer if we don't say it out on this podcast. Right. You guys can use your imagination. but yeah, so I'm curious, like Bachelor, if you were on The Bachelor and like you said, you are married, what would your limo exit be? Would it be like, I just remembered who you knew from The Bachelor.
But we can't talk about that either.
No.
What would my exit be? You know what? I think I would just be so nervous. I cringe so badly at all of the like,
yes,
you know what I see in this hallway that's outside? You, me, and a thorn and a rose. I'm gonna take the rose, see inside. Like, I can't with any of that.
I know.
So I think I would just be like, hi, how are you? My name's Kelly.
Bye. I think what I would do, and actually a girl did this on Monday's premiere, is I would bring like little shooters of alcohol and be like, I'm nervous. Like, I'm going to do a shot. Do you want to do one with me? And I feel like that's like chill. It's normal. He probably would appreciate it too. But
what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to ride in on any sort of animal. I'm not going to like use my body like rolling in like a blow up.
Oh, the bubble
clear ball. I'm not going to do any of that sort of thing because I'm not going to wear a wedding dress. I'm not going to propose and I'm not going to kiss them because that is so awkward when that happens.
I know. I will never forget. Who was it that like made him close his eyes and then she kissed him? That was so weird. I can't remember. I think I tried to block it on my head.
That's called consent, you're supposed to get it first. Yeah. So thanks.
Yeah, that's what she said that, you guys. She said that. You heard it here first. Okay, really quickly before we slowly wrap up, we need to address a couple sad things that happened over the holiday weekend. One of them being we have lost a legend, and that is Joe from Impractical Jokers, who's leaving Impractical Jokers. I am devastated. I'm devastated. I couldn't believe when I got that news. And the weird thing was, is I got the news at midnight and I was like, this is how I'm celebrating my 2022, ringing in 2022 with news that crushed my soul.
Where were you when you found out? You'll remember it all.
I honestly will, Kelly. And I just want to know what's going on, because he's not only leaving Impractical Jokers, he's also divorcing his wife, splitting up. So something is afoot. And I do have theories, but nothing. Sick. No, I have some theories, but they're kind of dark and nothing I want to put out there. Man's got a family, but I have some theories.
Hiding his true self.
I think there is something going on. There's got to be something going on. But I hope, you know, whatever it is that he gets any Works type through. Of help. Yeah. That he just gets what he needs from it. But no, of course the biggest loss was Betty White. Truly this bitch was 18 days short of her 100th birthday. She and I are birthday twins, and I'm not going to celebrate this year because of it. My 30th birthday, dead to me.
No. We're going to celebrate. But it is very sad. I mean, making it to 100 is such a feat. I mean, it's a very select few that get to make it to that wonderful age. And the fact that she was that close, and she's such a
bright light
of hope.
Yeah, she really was.
I would forget that she was still with us and then remember.
Because we took her for granted. We took her for granted. You know what? I did see something, and this is from somebody named Bill from Duffy Hill, aka at the Burmy Bi, I don't know, on Twitter. And he said, Betty White was 17 days from being 100, but she lived through more than 17 leap years. So those extra days count to me. She made it. And I think that that's the math I wasn't thinking about. I think she hit 100. Yeah. I mean, you got to round up, right? Okay. Like, I don't want to sound like a freshman in science class who's like at 89.76 begging for a roundup, but like you got a roundup at this point.
Literally. But like, what was your favorite, if you could account, what is your favorite Betty White appearance or her?
Oh, I love The Proposal so much. It's just a movie that I just love it on its own, but her in that movie is unreal. And the fire dance, it just makes me so happy. And when she fake dies in the helicopter, it's so good.
And what about when she can't find Sandra Bullock's boobs?
Yeah. Yeah, she thinks it's a pebble or something.
She's like trying to like be like, oh, I can't even find them to like size the dress. Oh, that's
good. I love her, but obviously a legend was lost, but so many good things to remember her by. And let's see what else. Oh, these are just like very quick news bites. We don't really have to say that much, but I just thought it was so insane that in the last like 48 hours, Steve Lodge, aka Vicky Gunvalson's ex-fiance, got engaged 3 months after splitting up with her. And then Tom DiAgostino, Luann's ex-husband, who she married 3 years ago on New Year's Eve, got engaged on New Year's Eve. These men.
Oh, you think Tom gives a flying frick?
It's just so weird. It's so weird.
He doesn't care. He's so happy to be away from Luann. It literally doesn't even matter. But the Steve of it all, I actually thought Steve and Vicky were in love. I really did. I thought her love tank was filled up.
I know. I mean, that woman, I still honestly hold out hope for her and Don. So
stop. I'm hoping for Brooks.
Oh, yeah. A good guy. Brooks Marks. Just kidding. Kelly just texted me today. We were just talking about Salt Lake City, and out of nowhere, she just goes, Brooks Marks. So that's what it was. It was an inside joke.
Nothing happened with Brooks Marks on the episode, but I just like to say it because Meredith, of course, has to refer to her son as Brooks Marks.
I know. It's so weird. Wait, so weird. One time I was at the Lululemon and I saw a girl in a Brooks Marks tracksuit.
Oh,
and
my
I
God,
didn't say anything her. To her. I didn't say anything, but I was just admiring it. Like in the wild. Isn't that crazy?
So crazy. But honestly, I'm sure she's just like one of those people that we talked about earlier on this podcast that just seeks things from the Bravo shows out, except yes. for the Wild Rose.
Nobody's seeking that out. That is left in the wild.
She should do a poll company. That I would seek out.
That would be, or what if she, and I mean, I'm not even being funny. Like she classes. Should, yes, teach classes. That would be so good. People would have so much fun with that.
I have no interest in your Wild Rose hair care or skin care. Don't bring up hair.
And then when she was like, the way I like my parties is the way please. I like my hair, my makeup, cruelty free and vegan or whatever she said.
Her friends. But
her yeah. friends, yeah.
I was like, no.
No. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me. Did you watch anything this weekend that you want to recommend to people, by the way?
I wouldn't say recommend, but I did watch Emily in Paris season 2. So I watched the full thing in a day, of course. I would say that, you know, it was cute. Nothing as good as season 1, unfortunately, and season 1 was, you know, not, it was good in its own way. I'll just put it that way.
I think that like the magic of like the escapism that season 1 gave us is a little lost. And then this one, I was like, okay, but she's got to like get her shit together.
Yeah. It's like, she's kind of being messy. I mean, really messy. Yeah. I do want to just say one thing that I wish they would have changed that I would like to get off my chest. I just think that it would have been a great idea if since she got like the pizza shipment for her birthday from her friend, why didn't they just do Lou Malnati's? So then they could say ode to Lou Malnati's.
And they had some beef with Lou Malnati's last season.
That's what I'm saying. So at least they could have, you know, put the olive branch out there.
I agree.
Feel personally victimized that she did that to Lou Malnati's when it's my personal favorite.
We
pizza.
Love Kelly and I like die
the
hard.
Salad.
The salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. I watched Sex Lives of College Girls, which is
I haven't watched it yet, but I want to.
You'll love it. It's so good. Pauline Chalamet, aka Timothy Chalamet's sister, who is identical to him. Take that as you may. It's like there are certain moments where you think you're just watching Timothy. She's so funny in it. All of the whole cast is incredible. And Gavin Leatherwood, for those that watched The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, is also in it. And he's not too bad to look at. So great show. I laughed out loud and I watched it all in one day. So I really recommend that one. And I think that's it. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me again. I have so much fun when we do this.
Please have me all the time. It's my favorite thing.
And then everybody else, you can go onto thedip.com, use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new batch of headlines. And until then, cheers.
Cheers.